one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Now, I'm not ordinarily that mean, but I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of a bunch of filth going on across this world, and the government and the school and the psychiatrists endorsing such sodomy sin.
Amen.
You girls need to guard your person around each other. And I tell you what, usually, if you'll not notice this, usually somebody won't flirt with you unless you're flirtable. That's probably a new word there, but when they find out you're sort of flirtable, you know, and then they'll just try you out. Let me tell you something. If you'd use the palm of that hand, or at least threaten, said, let me tell you something, you touch me and there's going to be some marks left on you.
Yeah.
That goes for the boys too.
Amen.
That's a good response. Praise the Lord. Ain't nobody like our children. You know why? You're getting some conviction. Oh, you realize what it does to your mind and your body and your soul. I mean, that's the reason we warn you like we do. Little old preachers, can you imagine? They ought to be run out of this country announcing we have a homosexual church. We believe in the civil rights to sin. And that little old girl was 15 years of age. You know who called me first? I think it was her honey. They were there. And she said, she wants to talk with you. Oh, listen, dear friends. You go back and find the sadness and the badness, and just look what happened to Lot and his whole family because he even lived in the city like that.
Amen.
Look what they did to Lot and his family. He lost all of his children. He lost his wife. And the only two he had left got their daddy drunk, and he became the daddy and the granddaddy of his own children and two little girls. His daughters became his wife, if you please, in sin. That's what Sodom did.
Amen.
Where'd those little girls learn that anyhow? Isn't that something? Reckon what Lot had been doing. Do you suppose he really had family altar with him like he did when he was with Uncle Abraham? You suppose he read the Bible, whatever he had of it, and prayed with him before he went to bed that night and they got him drunk? Do you suppose that? No. I tell you the thing that's wrong. God's people, when they get out of place, the whole world gets out of place.
Amen.
God never judges the world except through his people.
Right.
Israelites went bad, the whole world went bad. Behold, I send an angel. An angel. Now then, did you know that sometimes the place that God has for us is a lonely place? It's a hard place. You know, I preach on the ships. There are two ships that look like the world runs from. One of them's hard ship. Oh, they said, I wouldn't want. And yet, you'll learn more on the hard ship than you will on a soft ship.
Amen.
Until you've gone through some hard ships, you'll never appreciate the Lordship. God will get on the hard ship with you if you let him get you on the Lordship. Fact is, most people go from the hardship to the Lordship.
Amen.
Did you know that? Long as everything's lovely, you'd say, well, I'm having a great time. But when you get on that old hardship and she begins to toss with the waves, you begin to say, where's the lordship? I want to get off of this one. Hard times makes us turn to God. Good times never does. Success never helps you to succeed, but failure will, because failure will humble you. Whatever it takes to humble you and me will turn out to be our best blessing. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. Oh, brother. This is the picture here. This is the testing time for the man of faith. I preached about him, you know. God said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Verse 4. Oh, what a place, folks. This is the place that most of us, the flesh always runs from this place. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. You say, what is the place? It's the place where I'm to offer the best I've got. This is it. You know, Abraham, I believe, is growing in grace. He didn't question. You know, there was a time when he laughed. There was a time when he lied. There was a time when he said, we better watch it. I got to protect my own hide. But now then, God said, Abraham, I want you to rise up, and I want you to go up to Mount Moriah. I want you to take your only son. And when you get up there, now notice, he's already gone from Abram to Abraham. See? God has changed his name, and it seems that the days of Abraham's meandering or wobbling is about over. The man of faith is grown into a great man of action. Now, he could have said, Lord, would you run that by again? He could have said, Lord, we waited 100 years almost to get him, and now then you ask me to kill him. Lord, I don't mean to doubt you, but I just want to make sure you're sure that you know what you're doing. Yeah. No, faith never questions God. Abraham looks to me like he's about full grown spiritually now. He rose up. Far as we know, he didn't even pray with Sarah about it. He just, reckon he ever told Sarah about it. Huh? He didn't need any help, he just needed God. The Bible said he rose up early the next morning. I imagine he said to his son Isaac, son, you're going with Dad today. And he said, yes, sir. Sarah, she might have said, honey, where are y'all going? And if he didn't, he said, well, we're going to go worship. We're going to have a summit conference. And I'm taking Isaac and yet he got up there, and the Bible said after 3 days he looked up and he said, son, there's the place right there. Do you suppose Abraham ever forgot the place? Oh, when he took his son. And the son, now, Isaac was a type of Christ. He bore the wood, and he tied him and bound him on the altar, laid him on the altar. And you remember the son said, Father, here's the wood and the fire, but what about the lamb? I'll tell you one thing. There was a dad been telling his son about the lamb that takes away the sin. He said, Dad, just want to ask a question or two. I'm not recorded, but my imagination's running now. He said, you know, you've always taught me that for a sin offering, we had to have a lamb. He said, that's right, son. But he said, we've got the wood and we've got the fire. We came off without the lamb. And the dad said, son, oh, listen to Abraham when he said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. Isaac said, that's fine. And directly, Isaac looked up and saw the butcher knife coming down. And I imagine he said, Lord, Father Abraham, Dad, am I the lamb? Am I the lamb? Folks, there was no demonstration of rebellion on the part of Isaac. There was no demonstration of rebellion on the part of Abraham. Fact is, I believe the knife would have cut the throat of his own son, because the Bible says Abraham had already made a visit by faith into the accounting department of heaven and accounted that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. And I believe that, and I've never said this, but I believe that Abraham said, now this is going to be one more miracle. He said, I know there's got to be a lamb, and I know the Lord told me, the last message I had from heaven, he told me to offer my son Isaac as a sin offering, and I'm going to do it. He didn't say, Lord, what are you going to do about your big family? What are you going to do about me the being ahead? You remember you wouldn't take Ishmael? You remember I tried to get you to say, oh, I said, oh, that Ishmael may live. And you said, no, Ishmael's not going to live. There'll be some Moabites and Ammonites, but there's going to be some Isaacites. There's going to be some Abrahamites. He said, Lord, I'm still going to obey you. He took that butcher knife. I don't know what he told his son. You reckon he told his son? Reckon he said, Isaac, how would you like to be resurrected? If daddy kills you, I believe God's going to raise you up. But I know one thing. That seemed to be a perfect understanding between Abraham and Isaac. I mean, now you know good and well, that wasn't normal for a boy just to say, well, Dad, you really going to kill me? I mean, man, looks to me like you cutting me down a little early. No, there was no one. Brother, there must have been a mutual faith on the part of Abraham and Isaac. Amen. And Abraham, I don't know, when he left the servants behind, and he could have talked to his son, but he accounted that God was able to raise him up, from whence he also received him in a figure. Abraham said, it'll not be any bigger miracle when I kill Isaac, my son, for God just to go ahead and put life back into him. When he put life into Sarah and into me after we'd passed the age and the stage of childbearing, it's just going to be another miracle, and my faith is going to be turned loose in that direction. Brother, that's faith. I tell you, can you imagine the welfare department? Can you imagine the hotline buzzing, said there's a man going out to kill his son? Oh, I tell you, dear friend, it's better to obey than it is to sacrifice. I got a letter, and this man went into the abortion department, and he had his big sign up there and said, you're murdering, just murderers, you know. And boy, they arrested him, put him in jail. You know why? They don't want the truth. What? That was disturbing their peace, it was, and tranquility. But he just went in and sat down and waved his sign. That's all he did. Everybody came in and saw that sign. Didn't the world get excited about this killing cult? Did you know every cult is a killer? Did you know everybody connected with a cult? But listen, did you know that any religion without a virgin-born son of God, without the atoning death and the resurrection, did you know it's a killing cult? Amen. Did you know that every preacher in this country that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, he's a killer?
That's right.
I know 900 and some odd children, but let me tell you something. the most merciful thing that ever happened to those little children. I said those little fellows with their bright eyes, the own little son of the chief killer, the most merciful thing that ever happened to them was when they were killed and got to go to meet the Lord without reaching the age of accountability. They had no chance in life to ever be saved. And yet, we think that's the most horrible side of it. I'm not for killing children, but let me tell you something. It'd be better never to have been born once than not to be born twice. But it looks to me like somebody would be getting excited. America is now murdering 1 million a year and probably more. Nobody seems to be concerned. They've endorsed that, and the government said, well, I'll take your tax money and pay for it.
Yeah,
that's right. Fact is, I'll make a man out of a woman, and I'll transfer the whole thing, and I'll pay for it out of tax money. That's a crime against God and against the human race and against the taxpayers.
Amen.
Why don't we get excited about some things like that? I'm certainly not for this killer and his cult, but I tell you what. Most people in the morning, which is Sunday morning, will go to their church and they'll be attending a cult.
That's right.
If a cult is just something without Jesus Christ,
amen.
I don't care whether it's a Catholic cult or a Baptist cult or a Methodist cult. If you do not present Christ and the new birth, you are mixed up in a killing cult.
Amen.
If you can't get people saved, then you can't be if you don't believe in being born again. Now then, I want to talk with you about somebody that found his place. God didn't refuse to put down sad things that happened in the Bible. There was a young boy by the name of David. He turned out to be king, man after God's own heart. He had a son by the name of Absalom. Absalom was a typical rebel. He came to the place, and I read again to where Ahithophel and Hushai and Shimei and those fellows all. And you know, to me, David must have had, and I think since he's a man after God's own heart, old Shimei is walking up on the side of the hill and he's cussing the king, just cussing him. He called him anything he could think of, just damnable names and horrible things. And somebody walked up to David and said, now, you give me permission, I'll kill him. I'll bump him off. I'll be a member of your mafia. David said, no. He said, no. He said, you see, how could I kill him for cursing me when my own son is cursing me? I fail with Absalom. No, listen. Why kill a stranger when my own son, a member of my own family, has already murdered his brother for raping his sister, and the baby's already dead that ought never to have been born? Oh, listen, David wept a million tears in his life, but he was a man after God's own heart. None of us will ever be used of the Lord very much until we're broken up right down in this heart section. Just put that down. As long as you can just sort of skate through and dance through and just laugh through and smile through and ease through the sun, you never will be used of the Lord.
Right.
Never will. No, sir. I'm going to make a statement. People have been so sweet and so sympathetic. And yet, because of what we've gone through, but the thing about it, they don't see. God bless them for going through it with us. And this is a statement I'm going to make. If I had to go back through and live over the next 5 years like I did the last 5 years in order to make me come to the place where I am now, I'd go right back through it again. I believe I'm standing at the greatest place of opportunity I've ever stood in all of my life. I believe my people needed to go through what I've gone through with me. And if we hadn't gone through what we've gone through, I do not believe that we would be as well prepared. And I'm not saying we're graduates at all, but I am saying that through many dangers, toils, and snares, we've already come. And I believe it's prepared us to receive the grace to lead us on. I believe our homes are better and sweeter. Brother Olaf ought to be a better Christian because of God's demonstrated grace. And so, I'd be willing to go through it. I heard a man preaching one day. He was a great preacher one Sunday morning in a church in Indianapolis. He preached before I did. And he said, I've been through some hard places. Had a sweet spirit. He preached. Oh, he preached. He moved the people. He said, I've been through some hard places. But, he said, I'd go right back through them again in order to get what I got when I went through them again. Listen, brother, whatever it takes to get the grace of God in abundance, head out in that direction. No grace, no power, no peace. So I believe I'll look at Absalom for a moment. Absalom. And I'll not go into the detail of saying he had long hair and a lot of hair and a lot of rebellion and he rebelled against his dad. But finally, I read again where he got confused because of his advisors. Ahithophel and Hushai. One told him one thing, one told him another. One was sent out there to confuse him and told him, one of them said, let's take about 12,000 men. And oh, listen, one of them said, you don't know your old dad. You don't know your old dad. He's like a bear robbed of her whips. And said he's a man of war. Oh, if you've ever run into a soldier, you better be prepared when you go to face him. Listen, even though David, and I tell you it's a hard decision for him to make, his one great statement, like the statement of Jesus when he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He said, deal gently with the young man, Absalom. I've often wondered, I don't know the answer maybe, but I'll throw it at you. What if David, and of course he came to the place when they didn't want him to go fight anymore. They said, you're our leader. We don't want our leader to get hurt. Let us die for you. Let us die for you. Let us go fight the battle. But what do you suppose if the war and Absalom had gathered a great army and was heading toward his old dad? What if maybe they'd have let David go to war and they'd have gotten out there and David and the old soldier, scars, age and years, and he looked up. What if, I'm just surmising, what if he looked up and said, there comes my son? Think about Absalom coming with a sword, looking at his dad, and David had his sword in his hand. What's the old soldier going to do? I said, what? There comes a young expert, he thinks. And there comes an old soldier that never lost a battle that we know of. Reckon what he'd do. I mean, just reckon. He's a man after God's own heart. I'll leave that with you.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was entitled, Are You in the Right Place? To receive this CD, ask for offer number RO2832, and include $10 to help us with shipping and handling. We'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this station. To order by credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403.
When sin and strife came in my life and took control, I knew that nothing I could do would save my soul. I brought my heavy load of guilt to God in prayer. He laid my sins beneath the cross and left them there. I'm living now.
For our special offer for August, we have a recording from the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises Library. I believe that you'll receive a blessing by these inspired messages and song. To receive it, ask for offer number RO
1830. The title of the album is Unspeakable Love.
Since Jesus came and took my shame beyond a doubt, I've just begun to see what life is all about. I've moved up on a higher plane where joys abound, and from this mountaintop of love I won't come down. I'm living now.
The Sunshine Quartet sang and traveled with Brother Wolof in revivals for many years, and some of the titles of the songs are God's Last Altar Call, I Still Like the Songs That Mama Sang, Victory Was Won, Hold On, and many more. When requesting this CD, ask for offer number RO830 and include an offering of at least $12. Permit me a moment to encourage you to help lift the financial load this summer. We certainly do not want to cancel any of the radio station, but we want to keep paid up with our bills, and sometimes that is a little bit tough, so we definitely need your help. Now, to use your credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price thanking you for your help and love and support this summer, and we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and he made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at his feet and they looked in his face, content in his presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.